So from an IP version 6 perspective, the type of adoption we're really seeing within the federal government space is more along the lines of outreach to citizens. So the public-facing websites for the .gov domains are very well connected with IPv6, and it really is giving citizens just a different avenue and access into that government environment. We have not seen wide adoption of IP version 6 within the enterprise, but we are starting to see where the IP version 4 is really starting to create some problems, both from a security perspective and a scalability from within the enterprises. So we do expect some demand for people to start and agencies to really start migrating to V6 within their enterprise space.
And the lack of adoption or the slowness of it in the enterprise, is that because people are just not upgrading their network infrastructures with new equipment because of budget constraints, do you suppose?
I think continuing resolution is a big overriding event that certainly limited the amount of infrastructure upgrades that the government has been able to afford. And to be perfectly honest, it probably hasn't been as high a priority as achieving mission for the individual agencies within the last several years.
So tell us, give me your sales pitch. Why would an agency want to make this a priority to switch from V4 to V6?
Well, it really comes down to if you look at it, it's a way to save money over time. And when I start talking about security in the IP versions 4 space, you have to do quite a few things with your infrastructure to meet all of the security mandates. And IP version 4, when you start getting into doing something called NATing, where you're doing address translation, when you start doing layers of that, you really lose visibility of what's happening within your enterprise space without spending actually a lot more money to go do that. So in a lot of ways, IP version 6 really saves you money over time by investing in it up front, building the expertise around it. You have a much better view of what's going on from an enterprise perspective, both from a networking, IT services, as well as your security.
And when in the infrastructure cycle does this happen? Would this be when, say, people, for example, are consolidating data centers and at the same time optimizing and upgrading the resulting data center? Would that be a logical time to see more IP version 6 installed?
Actually, the best place to do is you absolutely have to have it in your data centers. You know, so there's some key things that underlie the enterprise, and a lot of people forget about it, but it's your things, like your LAN switches, your routers. The way you provision your servers and your applications within your data centers, all of those things have to get considered in order for it to be effective. But where you really start seeing the impact is when you have to do things like continuous monitoring from a security perspective to meet some of the new FISMA mandates. You really need a very clear view of what's happening across your enterprise, and doing this within an IP version 4 environment gets to be very costly.
So tell us how that works. What can IP version 6 do if someone's an administrator and they do need to start some kind of a continuous monitoring regime?
So with an IP version 6, as you may or may not be aware, there's a lot more address space. With IP version 4, what a lot of enterprises have implemented is a series of network address translations, which in effect create boundaries of access to information or from a networking perspective as well as security. So what happens behind your firewall, what happens in front of your firewall, it is very difficult to tie the two pieces of information together from a security perspective. So what you have to do is actually drive some big data analytics to be able to tie those two pieces of information together. So think of it as a wall. You see what's happening on one side of the wall, and you see what's happening on the other side of the wall, but to tie the two things together becomes the expense in an IP version 4, where in an IPv6 world, you don't have to do those same levels of network address translations.
We're speaking with Steve LeFrancois. He is Chief Technology Officer at Verizon Federal Business. Now, for others who are just users of federal internet sites or intranet sites, does this make a difference whether the architects are using V4 or V6?
Well, the whole concept of service to the citizen is about making it invisible to the users, right? They should not have to care what that data center is using or what the end user application is using from an addressing perspective. It's all about cost of delivery of the infrastructure to support the very well connected access to government information where it's applicable.
Now, we've seen a lot of growth in mobility, in the deployment of mobile devices, mobile applications, and of course that creates a lot of demand on the communication infrastructure. Agencies want to have unified communications via mobile devices, at least some of the smarter leading edge ones. Is all of that enabled and improved with IP version 6 out back there in the backbone in the data center?
Absolutely. From a Verizon Wireless perspective, just to give you, for instance, our 4G LTE network is absolutely IP version 6 enabled. And when you start thinking about that, why would somebody like Verizon do that? It's because the amount of connectivity enterprises are looking for, when you start putting 4G-type devices out there that are remote sensors or supporting your video cameras or your building security, whatever it may be, when you start talking any mobile-to-mobile applications, improving mobilities of what government agencies do and how they reach out. Instead of doing paper forms, you're doing forms on computers and iPads. When you start talking about the proliferation of those devices, you can't do that in the existing IPv4 world, which is why we've enabled our IP version 6 on our 4G LTE network. And obviously extending that into the enterprise is a function of, or a government agency data center, is a function of what they have from an infrastructure perspective to support either that native IP version 6 or we have to do address translation to interface to their current networks. And so we can support both models.
So the enterprise of things idea that is really starting to take place with, as you say, fleets of sensors or maybe millions of sensors in whatever the domain of activity is, that you really have to have the space, the address space of IP version 6.
Absolutely. And the other concept that we're really starting to see more demand for is ad hoc collaboration. So let's say an emergency pops up and we have multiple agencies that need to start communicating to each other. The way that is done today is a lot of coordination between security officers and networking people between the agencies. And in some cases, it can take days and weeks to do ad hoc networking and collaboration. There's newer technologies out there where you can really do more on-the-fly networking using some non-traditional security boundaries. And there's we call it the quantum hypernet, but it's about basically standing up work groups on a dynamic basis. And by doing this in the old IP version 4 world really slows down your ability to do that type of collaboration and information sharing, where you can do with an IPv6 public address space, you can do that on a much more dynamic basis and in some cases more securely.
So can we say that 2014 will be the year of the quantum hypernet?
We can only hope. So we certainly see the demand, and that's where we really think the government can look at some pretty significant cost savings and really changing the way they think about security and the way they really go about implementing those continuous monitoring capabilities, as well as but having a key, the network with some of the future networking abilities in it really is the differentiator that allows them to get there faster.
And do you think the GSA is on the right track as it plans for what happens beyond the current generation of networking contracts? They're not really fully formed yet, but do they seem to grasp all of this?
Absolutely, and a lot of the government agencies as well, and we're actively working with them to make sure they see what we see coming in the next 2, 3, 5 years, because that's the type of procurement life cycles you end up talking about.